Welcome to River Life Podcasts. We're a church family embracing the Father's presence, releasing empowered people to declare and demonstrate Christ's kingdom. We trust that God would use what you hear today to bless and grow you so that you would be a blessing to those around you. For more information about River Life Baptist Church, go to riverlifechurch.org.au or find us on social media.
Good morning. How are you doing? Doing sweet, that's good to hear. How's the hunt for rapid antigen tests going? Okay, are you practicing your prophetic gifts, prophetic training? All right, I think that we have our vision for the year. I think we just need to seek the Lord like we would seek a 5-pack of rat tests across Brisbane at the moment, and all will be well. I'm kidding, but what strange times that we live in, hey? But God is faithful, and it is going to be okay. Let me just say that right now across as we broadcast. It is going to be okay. It is going to be okay, church. Well, how good has the book of James been? Yeah? Come on. Today, the heading in my Bible next to chapter 4 is warning against worldliness. So you know it's going to be a little spicy. All right? But who likes a bit of spice on a Sunday morning? Me too. Praise God. When I sat down and read through this chapter last week, this might sound strange, but I had this memory and this feeling I had when Paula, my wife, and I flew into New York, and we were coming through JFK Airport with our bags on our way out, and this lovely man came and greeted us and met us, and he ushered us into this shiny black SUV, which I thought was a luxury cab over there, you know, and so all's going well. We're driving along with this man. He's joking about Aussie tourists and all sorts of stuff, Jack Johnson and whatnot. And I think all is well until suddenly we stop short of our Manhattan hotel, the doors all lock, and I realize I'm not in the presence of a luxury cab, but rather in the presence of a criminal who demanded that we empty our wallets if we want to get out of the car, right? So I obviously didn't want to hurt him. You know, I'm a pastor, very strong. So I obliged and I paid up and we got out. But it was a wake-up call. Man, it was really a wake-up call I didn't expect. And I believe this morning, when we read this passage, that we're in for a bit of a wake-up call, okay? A wake-up call in our faith. So, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, would you come? We're in submission to you this morning. So would you speak your word to us? So we're going to open James 4. In whatever format you've got there, but I'm going to be reading from the ESV version, English Standard Version. I'm going to start at verse 1. It says this, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it's to no purpose that the scripture says, 'He yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us'? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, 'God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble.' Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." Amen. The word of God to us. And we're in episode 4 of our series, and off the back of Pastor Scott's great message last week, encouraging us to use our words to bring peace, here we are, straight into fights and quarrels. Yeehaw, right? Now, as Christians today, we all obviously get along like whales bathing in the ocean together, okay? It is all just beautiful and slow and glorious, and fights and heated arguments existed only back then. I'm kidding, obviously. But James says, do you know why these things happen? Do you know what the cause of all this is? It's not that you just happen to be a bunch of horrible people looking to have a go at one another on a community Facebook page post, right? It's not that your passions, is it not that your passions are at war within you? My Bible says your passions or your pleasures. So ultimately, what you're seeking and what you have an appetite for deep down within yourself is what's really leading to this conflict. Now, I remember reading this book when I was youth pastor called Men's Secret Wars, and it was talking particularly about guys and how on the surface, you know, we tend to present these behaviors that we're known for, like, you know, aggression and violence, and then obviously withdrawing or hiding or could be gambling or sexual addictions. And this book was talking about the fact that whilst that appears on the surface, that's just the tip of the iceberg that we see. But ultimately what's going on, the bigger, deeper, more damaging issue underneath that will take down Leo DiCaprio and his precious Titanic, right? Okay, is this inner war of shame, of guilt, and of disappointment. And I remember for so many of the young people that I worked with, this was the recurring theme. Their struggle on the surface stemmed from something that was going on within their heart. And James echoes that here, saying, you desire and do not have, so you then murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and you quarrel. And this is just simply the power of the motivations of our heart. It dictates how we live. And when Jesus came and walked the earth, he tried to highlight this to us as well. He declared in Matthew 15, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and that this is what defiles someone, not that they don't wash their hands before they eat, right? That'll just give you Omicron or gastro, all right? But it does not defile a person. He showed us when we have hatred towards someone that it's murder in Matthew 5. So how's our kill count this morning? Okay, perhaps we've already started our morning in that rhythm of scrolling social media and having those thoughts, maybe exchanging words or comments about one another. You know, there was definitely a mass murder online in my community last week to whoever stole the local Bell Bowery mascot, Barnaby. So as we read on, we're reminded and challenged that the God of your life, rather than all this, he calls you to focus on praying to him. He's invited you into this unique spiritual relationship. It's unlike any other. And this relationship, it runs on good old premium unleaded prayer, right? Two-way communication, two-way connection with the Almighty God. It's incredible, really. If we think about it long enough, it is absolutely incredible that we have that opportunity. And James says, you do not have because you do not ask, or you do not pray. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on these other passions and pleasures within you. You're not praying out of cultivated relationship that's honest. You're praying maybe the formula. You're praying here and there because it was written in red. You heard the sermon and you're thinking to yourself, what's those right words I should say? What should I do again here? And we can then so easily fall into asking God to meet desires and needs that he never actually put on the inside of us. Things that are actually no longer meant to be a priority in our lives with him. And so in this part of his letter, James is calling us up. He's calling them up, speaking the truth in love, just like Scott encouraged us to last week. Demonstrating that as Christians, there will just continue to always be a struggle within us that will bring us to conflict, because despite what we may say we believe, where we're pointing our heart makes all the difference. I know I've fallen into times like this too, where maybe I see some home renos pop up and I start to get that spirit of Pinterest, not Pentecost, right, to come strong upon me. And I'll start to dwell on it and desire it and research it and look it up. And then I open my bank account and I realize that it's actually a lot tighter than what I'd like. And so as a result, then I get a bit grumpy and I lose my gratitude. I lose my thankfulness. I lose awareness of what I actually have. I lose my peace. And then I head on over to God and I ask Him, right, to provide that I might well just increase my wealth and have these things that I want. Just being real. You know, I've also, in that space, prayed the formula, looking for the correct words to say, the things that, like, I'm like, okay, if His word says this and if I do this, like, if this lines up, I might just still be able to have success in this moment, get what I'd like. You know, it kind of reminds me when I first joined the prayer team, when I came forward to pray for people, I made sure I covered every base, right? Those poor people coming forward just to get prayer for their headache had to sit and listen to my well put together essay and then my attempt at a total complete spiritual cleanse on the spot. And I think that those people walked away with more of a headache than when they came. So I'm sorry if that was you. But these behaviors there, they're always a sign to me that I need to draw close to the heart of God again. I need to get real with Him. I need to pray and pursue Jesus. It doesn't matter how much church activity I'm doing. I can't escape it. I work here, right? We need to look within ourselves and look at our lives and ask, am I really cultivating relationship with Jesus? Is the life set out by Him becoming my main desire and treasure? Or am I here, but my stocks, my passions, my pleasures, they're in everything else this world could offer. It's what I spend my time on. It's what I think on. And James is challenging this. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He expressed that we cannot serve two masters. Okay, this is just science, right? We'll be devoted to one another and we'll be devoted to one and we will despise the other. So our relationship with God will simply just feel hard going, not bearing the fruit we want to see if our heart is pointed towards these other desires. We have to remember we're living for eternity. You are part of eternity's picture. This world is temporary. This world is fading away. So what we do now as believers and how we live, we're living for heaven. Okay, please don't fall into the trap of the magic pill when you die. Please don't fall into the trap of the spiritual insurance package kicks in when you die. You are cultivating a relationship with Jesus that you will take with you into eternity. And we see that warning from Him in the Gospels where He says, I didn't really know you. I didn't really know you, okay? He's just being honest. He's just being real with us. And so we have to put that effort and that motivation now into going, eternity has started. I'm investing into that. My heart for worship, I'm investing in that now. And so the encouragement is to pray. Come on. He made it easy for us. He made it something we can do right now. Our Father who art in heaven, we just sung about it. He gave us access to something. He didn't say you got to go through 10 courses of Bible college. How you can connect and commune with me, how you know me, come pray, communicate, listen, see His priorities, because that's the life of our relationship. Jesus loving us and us Him. It's why we're following Him, why we pray, not because it's a condition attached to that insurance package I talked about, not because it's just what you're supposed to do, you good person, right? Because how many of you know that you can be in a marriage, even for a very long time, but your heart can be with someone else? And when that happens, it leads to unfaithfulness and it leads to marriage breakdown, relationships collapsing. And this is the point in our passage where that shiny black SUV is coming along, all is well, and all of a sudden it stops and the doors lock and James is like, here's your wake-up call, church. Here it is, listen. He writes, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Wow. Wow. Adulterous people. The Message version says to its readers, you're cheating on God. The Passion Translation puts it, you've become spiritual adulterers, having an affair. This is really strong language in the New Testament, particularly this far into the New Testament, right? Adultery in the Old Testament, as outlined in the law, the punishment was, of course, death, not just time outside the community or a couple of sheep sacrificed. Who can forget the woman who was caught in the act, who was about to be pelted down by large rocks before Jesus stepped in? The God of relationship is jealous for our hearts. I think he has a right to be. He's God after all, right? So there's no room for playing the field. This is where we get that reverent fear and awe of the God of the universe. The God that when people would come in to worship him in the Old Testament in the wrong way, they would lose their life. You know, it's the holiness, the set apart nature of God that sometimes we forget about. And so he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity? Enmity means actively in opposition. So your friendship with the world is actively in opposition to God. The alarming reality here is that I don't think we do know that, church. I think perhaps we haven't realized that it's happening because sometimes it's not in the big and the obvious and the overt and the horrible. In fact, more often than not, it's subtle. But the good news for us today is the Holy Spirit wants to shine a light on it, and then he wants to bring freedom and set us free because he doesn't want us to be slaves to the world in any way, whether we realize it or not. So there is no condemnation in the Father this morning, but there is honesty and there's the reality of him shining a light on how we're living and asking us questions and saying, well, I've got an invitation. I've got an invitation here. Who wants to live free? I want to live free. Amen? So let's keep opening our hearts. Stay with me. Do you know that when you land in New York City, apart from get hijacked, that researchers have proved that no matter where you come from, you naturally will walk faster. Isn't that crazy? You just naturally, no matter what geographical location in the world you're from, you will just naturally walk faster and you don't even realize it. Okay, they've tracked this. And I think it's a bit like that with the influence of the world on the church. We're walking differently to where it is that we come from, but we don't quite realize. So author and pastor John Mark Comer says, the world is a subject we don't often talk about in the church anymore. Perhaps because more and more, we're simply being colonized by its ways. We are indeed due to the beast of online media. I reckon we're arguably in the deepest in our world, I think, that we've ever been. And it's just the new normal. Think of how entrenched we've been with this virus, right? Every perspective from every angle, on every device, on every platform, this and that, constantly being informed by every bit of possible media. I think it's safe to say we are now well-trained in the ways of the COVID, all right? We've had a couple of years of it. And this is how our world seeks to operate to us. Whatever the major trends or issues are, there's going to be a strong cultural force behind it. It's just guaranteed. And it feels as if we're not just in the world in 2022, we're now also connected to it. We're sharing it and we're replaying it also. And as believers, more than ever before, seriously, more than ever before, we have to be aware of its place in our lives. We have to wake up to where it actually is and just have that honest moment with Jesus. As in 1 John 2:15, it says, do not love the world or things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father, it's not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life, all those things that fill us through the week, right? They're not from the Father, they're from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Woo, love that. I had this realization about 2 years ago that I was reading two Bibles. One was called my daily bread, the Word of God. The other was more my daily fairy bread, covered in sprinkles, called my social media feed. I was always a sucker for fairy bread as a kid, and even recently I went to a kid's party and I couldn't help myself, okay? Just had to get that sugary sweetness in. But jokes aside, I can tell you out of those two Bibles which ones I was reading more. I can tell you out of them which ones I was engaging with, which was driving my thoughts and my actions, sometimes without realizing, which one my heart was excited to actually want to open, not just open out of discipline. The treasures and the passions that were feeding me in one Bible were at war and at odds with the other Bible. The Bible that I read with the Lord was telling me, give your life away. Lose your life for my sake. It is not about you. It is about me and eternity. And then the other Bible, my social media, was saying, it is all about here and now, man. It is all about life right now. Make the best that you can right now. Have all of this. Live for all this stuff. Engage with it. Share it. Comment it. Talk about it. And I'm just speaking for myself here, okay? Speaking for myself. I started to care more about the praise of man again, which affected me. I started to covet more. I started to talk about other people. That it just filled our house. You know, we're just talking about people. Like, why? Not even necessarily being rude, but why are we talking about other people all the time? Why are we talking about the church? Why are we not talking about Jesus? Why do we talk about what happens on a stage or what happens in the church community when we get together for coffee? Why don't we talk about what Jesus tells us to do in his word? Because, you know, there's still that gap for us. We want to be growing and walking towards him. Okay, this is not because we're horrible people. It's because of the effect and influence of the world on us, the rhythm that just catches up with us. And I know for me, the narrative of approval and of self was like coming out of my pores. Okay, God's priorities were maybe an afterthought at best, or maybe when I was here in the building. Because when you're weekly just swimming in such a strong like, dislike, rate, compare, comment. And even if you're not on social media, it's there in our cafes, Urban Spoon, Yelp review. How did you go? On your customer call. Was that good enough? Are you happy? Do you want to tell everybody on Facebook how bad the service was of this one company so everybody else is aware of it? That's the way of our world. That's not the way of our Christ who stands in the gap for people and says, you know what? We're all the worst of sinners. So let's extend grace. So when we come to church at the end of the week, guess what we also naturally bring in here? Guess what's naturally just all over us? You know, I've seen it affect our worship towards our precious God. How worship starts to become about us, about self, about approval. It feels normal to think or comment or rate something because we just apply the same system, the set of values that the world swims in. We have to hear ourselves. We have to hear ourselves. We have to stop, hear ourselves through the lens of our faith. Maybe we don't realize that, but when we do that sort of thing, we're essentially saying, God, I liked loving you. I liked bringing you my worship. I liked being a sacrifice with my whole body. I liked presenting my whole body as a living sacrifice to you today, but I didn't like it last week, or I didn't like it the week before. You see how easy it is, even in something so sacred as the worship of the Almighty God, where it moves you away from, I am the sacrifice. I am the sacrifice here. My life is not my own. That's not the narrative of our world. It's not the narrative of media. It's not the narrative of social media. It's the way of our Savior. And this is but one example within these walls, but you know, our life, our faith, has the world's quest for approval and political correctness got in the way of us actually embracing persecution, right? When we stand for what we believe in. Jesus said, you're not of the world. I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you, in John 15. The values, they compete. We're in the world, yes, but we're so distinct. We are so distinct. We're so salty. We are so salty. You are the saltiest salt there is, all right? If we lose our saltiness, we lose our very purpose. So James has been building on this warning to us. He starts to show us a way forward. In verse 6, he says these words, but he, God, gives more grace. God's jealousy for us here, it's not overlooked, but rather outdone by his incredible grace. And he says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. We might all be swimming in this, but God gives grace to those who take that humble place in it. If you're open to acknowledging forsaken priorities, there is always, always church, there's always grace that meets that kind of humility. If we stay proud like we often do and, you know, arms folded, nah, I'm happy with my life, you can't tell me how to live my life, I'm not going to be in subjection to any of this. God's like, that's totally cool. You're just going to continue to oppose me in these ways. You continue to be going in a different direction to the way I'm going. And speaking of opposing God, just like I was not aware that that nice man was actually a criminal behind the driver's seat of that car, out of nowhere, James drops the D word. He says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's the D word, in case you're wondering. Resist the devil. Wait a second. Huh? What? Where did he come from? Devil? I thought we were talking about quarrels and pleasures of the world. Why is he now pointing to the devil? Is this a sci-fi movie? 1 John 5:19 says this. The whole world lives in the power of the evil one. Huh? No, Pastor Nick. Great joke. You can't be serious, mate. Theologian Jerry Brashears affirms this. He says the world is Satan's domain. It's where his authority and his values reign. Though his deception makes it hard to realize. And if you are of the world, then it will just seem as if all is right, all is sweet. Behind these opposing values is an opposing force. Paul says our struggle, you and me, Christians, us together, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against evil powers and principalities. And you can write that off as a Star Wars quote, but the demonic influence in the world is something that we really need to be more aware of. Because that is what is opposing you. That's what James is saying. That is what is opposing you. That's your enemy. We don't realize it. We don't talk about it. That's our enemy. That's the other direction. People are not the enemy of God. Let me be clear on that. They are the object of his proven love. But we as people are not immune to Satan's influence, and it doesn't only come through our witchcraft or that time we messed with a Ouija board. It comes through the ways of the world. He's known as the prince of the world, the father of lies. And the horrible thing with deception is that you don't know you're being deceived, right? Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer and die for the world? And Peter says, "This shall never happen to you. Far be it from you, Lord." And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." I love you, Peter, but the devil is influencing you, and that's opposing me. So, devil, get out of the way. Get out of the way. And it's just as real for us as his followers, too. We're told to resist the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Not we flee. He will flee from us. Because resist means to exert oneself so as to counteract or defeat, to push against. We resist by pushing back in the opposite direction with the opposite spirit. And we read how we begin to do this in these next few lines as we start to wrap this together. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Some translations say, draw even closer to God and he will draw even closer to you. How good, how freeing does that feel and sound, given what we've just talked about? Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. It sounds so good because it is. Pastor Scott and I were talking this week about all the things we have access to in front of us during the week. We can wake up with our Bibles. We can pray as a family, whoever's in the house at the time. We can pray over WhatsApp. We can send encouragement. We can put worship on in the house. We've got Spotify playlists for years. We can listen to podcasts on spiritual growth on the way to and from work. And these not only cultivate relationship with God, these not only make us draw near, these wage war. These wage war. This is the opposite spirit. And how good's that, that it opposes the devil? You want to kill two birds with one stone, or even just one Goliath, you know? Let's do these things regularly. Don't let them come second best to your TV series. Don't let them come second place to sport, music, crime, comedy podcasts. These things are all perishable. You don't get to take them with you. At the end of the day, just like a board game, it all goes back in the box, right? Except for our faith, except for what is eternal. None of these bear weight on eternity. And so for me, I had to break up with social media. Bye, Felicia. Ciao, Fatima. Out of my way, Satan. If befriending the patterns of the world is spiritual adultery and the devil is the driving force, then we're not just making an effort against worldliness here, we're actually making an effort against sin. And we don't keep on sinning because grace abounds. We don't do that. We don't take advantage. Normalizing sin is one of the enemy's greatest tactics in your life. It's so easy to do. And remember that sin has never been a fail on a report card. Sin is actually a disease. It's a disease that kills our faith, kills our soul, kills our life. Sin still matters. And it's humility for us to recognize this sin. You might even enjoy the sin. That's harder. And James is inviting us instead to choose to submit to God and resist the devil. Take that step. Repent, which draws us towards God, and then he gives us the grace we so desperately need. And we can all draw near. Everybody, there is no barrier to drawing near to God. So today, where are you actively in opposition to God? Where has the enemy deceived your heart? Regardless of what your belief system might be, how tight and put together and trained you might be and have it all figured out, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure currently? Because that matters far above those things. What Bible are you reading more often? Maybe you can relate to some of the things I've mentioned. Perhaps it's totally different for you. Maybe you just feel that the world would probably call you their own because you've lost that saltiness. You want to be salty again. Holy Spirit, come bring conviction this morning. Change us. We want to push back today. We want to push back. We want to resist. We want to go in the opposite direction. And so we're going to take some time this morning to do that by coming into communion, using that as the way, as the tool to humbly just come before God, submit ourselves to him. And we're going to exchange cups. Exchange the cup the world has been saying, drink every day, drink, drink, drink. And instead, we're going to drink a different cup, the cup of a new way. It's a cup of sacrifice and a cup of life. It's a cup of joy and a cup of suffering. And James gives us the sincerest instruction how to repent this morning. And I want this to really sit with you, because I think so often we get repentance. We rush it. It's really normal. We call for repentance, obviously, like when we're speaking on Sundays and when we're meeting together in life groups and that sort of stuff. It's become a word that's quite familiar to us. But I really believe James takes us through the pathway of what repentance looks like. He covers it here. And so he says this: cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we see the inside and the out. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. See that pathway? See how we have to get real? We have to get burdened, be honest and confess our unfaithfulness, humble ourselves, drop our pride, maybe even cry it out, maybe even allow ourselves to be present with just how far we've walked away from what he's asked us to do. We feel the weight of that. But then, as we humble ourselves, he rushes in. His grace rushes in 100 mile an hour and he lifts us up. He exalts us. Watch the King of Glory enter in as you humble yourself this morning. Seriously. Watch what it does to you. Watch how it makes you feel. Watch how it changes how you think. Watch how your circumstances from leaving this place start to be changed and altered. Your relationships. Because he begins to exalt you and lift you up. So we have to go there to the weight of it, but we don't stay there. He lifts us. God of the universe lifts you up. Come on. So we're going to take this moment to be real. Maybe you're already aware of what it is he's highlighted to you this morning. Maybe it's quite significant for you. Maybe you need to write it down right now. Maybe you need to just start sitting there and journaling. God, forgive me. Lord, I've seen these things. Lord, I, his eyes are on you. His spirit's here. You're in community. There is grace. And so after you've had that moment and you've sat there, we're going to take communion and I want to invite you in your own time and in your own space to actually come forward. We've got some tables at the front, and if you're watching online at home, now's a good time to go and prepare some things too. You can do this in your own time because it'll be different for everybody. But come forward, grab communion after you've sat with the Lord and take it back with you, and then receive the freedom as you eat and drink from his table, not the world's table. Change chairs today. Drink from a different cup. Eat a different meal. Listen to a different voice. But don't waste this opportunity. Get honest. Receive not only your forgiveness, but also your empowerment to change. Come on, how good is that? On offer this morning. So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this open altar. We thank you for an open opportunity to come before you, to submit ourselves to you. Let the weight of your presence fall in this moment. And I ask that the Lamb who was slain would get the reward for his suffering out of the choices, the meditations, the desire for repentance that happens this morning, Lord. We choose to push back, resist the world, resist the devil, and we choose to run towards you. Thank you for that invitation this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So when you come forward, you'll see the body and the blood of Jesus Christ represented here in this wafer and this juice, his body broken for you, his actual body broken for you, his actual blood poured out for you. And as a result of that, we can experience grace and life this morning. As a result, we can resist the world and we can live in the way we are always meant to live.
Thanks for listening to this River Life podcast. Make sure you subscribe to keep up to date with all the latest content. If this podcast has raised any questions for you, contact us via church@riverlifechurch.org.au or through Facebook and Instagram. Thanks for listening.